This afternoon at 3:30, our choir with the orchestra and the bell choirs will be celebrating Christmas with our annual concert. So please come back and fill your hearts with joy of the season and hear again the songs of the angels and the bells ringing at 3:30 today. One of our friends is undergoing a treatment for cancer. It was unexpected, completely surprising her, and she's fighting it bravely. The first round of treatments have gone well, and we pray fervently that she will prevail. What she's not looking for are some new medicine that will heal her or a miracle. What she's looking for is energy to celebrate Christmas with her family this year, to be able to bake the cookies that her family loves, and to be able to make it to Christmas Eve candlelight service with her church family. That's what she's looking for these days. There's a mother with a son in the Marines, son that's deployed overseas, and she hopes that he could be out of the harm's way. She's settled for redeployment and a more safer place, away from danger. But she's very proud of him, but also very scared for him. And so she's looking for some ways to believe that he will be at a safer place than where he is today. That's what she's looking for in these days. At Christmas, all of us bring our hopes and dreams before the manger, somehow hoping that we could taste this redemption, this salvation that the angels sang about, that the shepherds looked for. Somehow hoping that we could get a sip from that cup of blessing. Some of us want to find a way to bring up something hard to say without getting shut down. Perhaps it's the courage to pursue a dream that we've always thought of trying for, just to try. Maybe some are seeking for a heart of forgiveness for what we've done, or the heart to forgive someone, so that we can move forward together somehow. These hopes and desires that we have, is it any different from what the Bible talks about when it says the blind shall receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them? I don't know about you, but I think that's exactly what they're saying. This is exactly what we want at Christmas, isn't it? We want to believe that Emmanuel is true, that God's presence pervades our world where we live. We want to believe that the song that Mary sang, that so filled her with joy about our world, is a world that we live in. Well, what is it that you're looking for these days? About 20 years ago, at the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, 1992, a 12-year-old girl stood up at the plenary session. Her name was Severin Suzuki, and she was from Canada. She and her friends knew exactly what they wanted, what they were looking for. So I want to share some of this from her speech. Hello, I'm Severin Suzuki, speaking for ECO, the Environmental Children's Organization. We are a group of 12 and 13-year-olds trying to make a difference. Vanessa Sudi, Morgan Geisler, Michelle Quake, and me. We raised all the money to come here 5,000 miles to tell you adults you must change your ways. Coming up here today, I have no hidden agenda. I'm fighting for my future. Losing my future is not like losing an election or a few points on the stock market. I'm here to speak for all generations to come. I'm here to speak on behalf of the starving children around the world, whose cries go unheard. I'm here to speak for the countless animals dying across this planet because they have nowhere to go. I'm afraid to go out in the sun now because of the holes in the ozone. I'm afraid to breathe the air because I don't know what chemicals are in it. I used to go fishing in Vancouver, my home, with my dad until a few years ago. We found the fish full of cancers. And now we hear of animals and plants going extinct every day, vanishing forever. In my life, I have dreamt of seeing the great herds of wild animals, jungles, and rainforests full of birds and butterflies. But now I wonder if they will even exist for my children to see. Did you have to worry about these things when you were my age? All this is happening right before our eyes, and yet we act as if we have all the time we want and all the solutions. I am only a child, and I don't have all the solutions, but I want you to realize, neither do you. You don't know how to bring the salmon back up a dead stream. You don't know how to bring back an animal now extinct. And you can't bring back the forest that once grew where now there are deserts. If you don't know how to fix it, please stop breaking it. At school, even in kindergarten, you teach us how to behave in the world. You teach us not to fight with others, to work things out, to respect others, to clean up our mess, not to hurt other creatures, to share, not be greedy. Then why do you go out and do the things you tell us not to? Do not forget why you're attending these conferences. You, who you are doing this for, we are your own children. You are deciding what kind of a world we are growing up in. Parents should be able to comfort their children by saying, everything's going to be all right. It's not the end of the world, and we're doing the best we can. But I don't think you can say that to us anymore. Are we even on your list of priorities? My dad always says, you are what you do and not what you say. Well, what you do makes me cry at night. You grown-ups say you love us, but I challenge you. Please make your actions reflect your words. Thank you. The words of this young girl, 20 years later, 20 years into our energy climate era, is still relevant and very prophetic. 2,700 years ago, Isaiah dreamt of a new kind of a world where humanity would be changed, and along with people, all the world would be transformed. He has such a vision. And of course, almost 3,000 years later, here we are, and we do talk about a green revolution, but it's not just about Earth Day concerts or having a green economy so that we can make new jobs. Today, it's a matter of survival for us and for the non-human world around us. The force of Sovereign's words make us realize that we need to hear what Mother Earth is saying to us. Today is Sunday of joy, Sunday of hope, and I'm wearing this hope blue. Yet, I often wonder whether hope is enough for our world this day, especially as we have heard our young people speak to us. Young children at the Rio says, hope is not enough. We are what we do, not what we say or what we hope for. In the ancient Greek mythology, Pandora is the sister-in-law of Prometheus, the one who stole the fire for us. She was given a dowry, but she and her husband Epimetheus got curious, and they opened the dowry and unleashed scourges, greed, vanity, slander, envy, pining, and all kinds of diseases. The last scourge, last evil that she released was hope, elpis in Greek, which in the story is usually translated anticipation of misfortunes. This kind of hope, when you sense that what you're about to do isn't going to make much of a difference, that the world is beyond repair or hope. So why should we even try? This kind of hope, the Greeks called it the worst evil, because we give up even before we start, because we think whatever we do won't make much of a difference in the future. So the future kind of controls what we do today. Prophet Isaiah, though, offers us a different kind of a future. He says, it's the redeemed and the ransomed, the people of faith, who will be transformed utterly, and along with them, the natural world. He says to us, strengthen the weak hands, support the unsteady knees. Say to those who are panicking, be strong, don't fear. Here's your God coming to save you. Then the Lord's ransom will return and enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them, and grief and groaning will flee away. Whenever I read these words from Isaiah, I think about driving up Highway 280 to San Francisco. And in my mind's eye, I envision that the right hand of the highway will start changing, that the flowers will begin to bloom as I'm driving up. Have you ever thought that? Because on your left, you have all the greenery in the world, but on the right, you have these huge brown hills. So whenever I drive up 280, I think of Isaiah saying to us, this will change completely into a different kind of a world. And it's not just a hopeful, wishful thinking kind of a world, is it? For Isaiah, the world, the new world, God's culture is already begun in our midst. It is up to us, those who are redeemed, to walk and to drive on this path. Isaiah looked for the day, and Jesus said, the kingdom of God is already here. Already, God is at work in our midst. And so the invitation is to us, will we be part of this new culture, new work that God has started to change us and the rest of creation? Isaiah looked beyond this world and saw a new reality, and Jesus says, repent and believe. Only when we are able to step outside of ourselves can we really see what is really needed in the world, both the beauty and the terrors around us. Only then can we allow God's grace to work His miracle in us so that the rest of the world can be affected as well. Sometimes it may mean that we need to hear things that we don't want to hear, to see things that we don't want to see, and to be where we don't want to be. So today, at this season, Jesus asks us, what is it that you are looking for in these days? The world is not looking for superheroes. Mother Earth is not looking for supernatural protectors. But what the Bible suggests is that those of us with weak hands, weak knees, trembling hearts are the instruments that God will use to bring a new world right in our midst. So we sing the song Joy to the World. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make God's blessings flow as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found, as far as the curse is found. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. May we prove the glories of God's righteousness and the wonders of God's love, the wonders of God's love, and wonders of God's love. We can bring whatever it is we are searching into this place, before the altar, into the manger, and expect that God will be with us and help us to overcome whatever obstacles that may stand in our ways, so that we can indeed experience God's joy this season. May God bless us. May God give us the kind of hope that makes real whatever is in our hearts in the world around us. Thanks be to God for this great joy that is in our hearts. Amen.